says from the Medrash that it's a hekesh to compare Me'ah Shana to Esrim Shana and Sheva Shanim, and Esrim Shana to Sheva Shanim. So the way we have the Girsa in Rashi as quoting the Medrash is Me'ah Shana ke Esrim Shana lechet, and Esrim Shana ke Sheva Shanim leyofi. Others think that the Girsa should be the reverse, that a girl who's 20 years old is much more attractive than a little girl who's only 7 years old. Others think the Girsa should be a girl 7 years old doesn't sin yet. A girl 20 years old probably did sin already. Some sins, but lashon hara. But the way we have the Girsa in Rashi, it says that when she was 20, she was good looking like at the age of 7. How good looking could you be, right? It means that a 7 year old girl doesn't put on cosmetics. She has natural beauty. So when she was 20 years old, she also didn't need any cosmetics. She looked good without all the other stuff. And Mea Bas Mea was Ke Bas Chof Lechet. How do you assume that a Bas Chof is not a Bas Chet? So the Mefarshim explained based on the Gemara, the Medrash. The Gemara and the Medrash say in many different places that the Bezen Shal Maila doesn't punish until one reaches the age of 20. Bezen Shal Mata punishes person is considered a baronshin, a bardas, from the age of 12 or 13 by a girl or by a boy. But Bezen Shal Maila doesn't punish till the age of 20. We assume that 13 is the beginning of the 12, 13 is the beginning of the maturity. The Gemara of the maturity is about 20. So the Bezen Shal Maila is mekel till the person is more mature. The Gemara of the maturity process, so they're not manish. The Achreidim discussed the kasha the Chacham Tzvi raises. Chacham Tzvi thinks that this medrash is not correct. It's a favor in a medrash somewhere that says the Bezen Shal Maila doesn't punish till the age of 20. We shouldn't assume that this is correct because one brings a chatos. If one violates an aver b'shoigeg, kol she's done a course is she goes to chatos. If a person does an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have violated that aver b'mezid, would have been chayv kares. So if he violates aver b'shoigeg, he's chayv chatos. So if you're going to tell me that the Bezen Shal Maila doesn't punish till the age of 20, so there's no chorus until the age of 20, so if a person, after Bar Mitzvah, is Machal Shabbos, or eats Chometz B'Pesach B'Shoigeg, so you're going to tell me he doesn't bring a Korban Chatos, because he's not Chayv, he wouldn't have been Chayv Karas if he would have done it B'Mezit, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is Beferish, and Yivam is Daf Pei, that a child after Bar Mitzvah, who eats Chalev, the Gemara has been talking about eating Chalev, Mar says, if he eats chaylev, he's chayv chatos right away. So the Achrayim say they can't accept what the Chacham Tzvi said. This is a favor for the Medrash, not a favor for the Medrash. This appears in the Gemara many, many, many places. The Midrashim have it all over the place. That until the age of 20, the Bezen Shal Maila doesn't punish it. It's hard to say that it's not the accepted opinion. The kasha that the Chacham Tzvi asks is a good kasha. If the rule is that one is only chayv chatos, Anadovish has done a chorus and shegos a chatos, so why does the Gemara say in Yavam is daf pei that a child right after Bar Mitzvah wait chelev would be chayev to bring a chatos? So perhaps the poshet the teretz you have to say is that a dovish has done a chorus doesn't necessarily mean that I would have been chayev chorus the poil mamish if I would have violated that other. It means the chaymo haver is such that it usually carries with it chorus. Happens that they wouldn't give me chorus because I'm younger than 20. Bezen Shal Maila is not manish before the age of 20, but still the aver that he violated is still an aver sheyesh bo chorus. Teretz is not that mechudish dik. That's usually we do assume like that the Bezen Shal Maila. We're not part of the Bezen Shal Maila, but we hope and pray that the Medrash is the accepted opinion, that for the sins that one violates before the age of 20, Bezen Shal Maila does not punish. The pasuk continues to say that Avram was out of town when his wife passed away, so he came, lispad l'sora v'lifkos, he came to deliver a hesped and to cry. So the Gemara says that the hesped is a chiyuv, quoted in Yeridah, there is an obligation to deliver a hesped. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, you see from the, it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's an obligation to deliver a hesped, whether the one who passed away was a man or a woman. So the mocker is from Sar, that it says that Avraham Avinu delivered a hesped, even though she was a woman. Why would I have thought differently? I'm not sure. What's the chiddush? You would have thought there's a difference between a man and a woman. I don't know. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Afilu isha, you're mechuyav to deliver a hesped. A hesped is based on the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius is based on the assumption that all people were created the Tzelem Elokim. The only question the Gemara raises is whether the Hesped, the Gemara Sanhedrin, and the Ramdaf Mem Heyasay, also the Gemara raises a suffix whether the obligation to deliver Hesed is because of Kavod HaChaim or Kavod HaMeisim. Is it because of you want to give Kavod to this Meis? There is a din of Kavod HaChaim, there is a din of Kavod HaMeisim. In Parshas Emor, the Torah says that a Kohen is not allowed to be Metami LaMeisim unless it's one of the Zayin Kroivim. Lachos HaPsulo Shalohoi Salish Lo Yitamo. So we just learned the other day the Gemara in Sota Dav Gimel Amar Aleph presents a Machloikas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding three psukim. That Rabbi Akiva says that those three psukim are chayva, and Rabbi Shmuel says that those three psukim are rishus. And one of the three psukim is this: Lo Yitamo. So Rabbi Shmuel says rishus. If the kohen chooses to, he's permitted to be mitame to the zayin krov. If he doesn't want to, let him not be mitame to the zayin krov. He's not mechuyev to. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva that Lo Yitamo is a chayva. He's obligated to be mitame to the zayin krov. The other two psukim that they argue about is what is it doing in Soita Dav Gimel Amar Aleph? And the answer is because the first pasuk is at that Soita. It says Rav Olav Roch Kina V'Kina Es Ishtoi. So do you say Kina Es Ishtoi is a rishus? If the husband, if that's what happened, the husband warned his wife Al Tistri and Mishploni, so then the rest of the story continues. But he's not obligated to give his wife a hard time. And we pass like Rabbi Kiva that V'Kina Es Ishtoi is a chayva, that if he thinks that there's something fishy going on, he's obligated to warn his wife Al Tistri and Mishploni. And the third pasuk is what we got involved in Maseches Gittin, that it says Le'olam Mehem Tavoid regarding an Eved Kalaini. If you have an Eved Ivri, say let him go free B'Sheish B'Yovel. An Eved Kalaini doesn't go free not B'Sheish not B'Yovel. He goes free B'Shem B'Yayin. But who's interested in knocking out the Eved's teeth and knocking out his eyes? But the Din of Yetziah B'Sheish B'Yovel doesn't apply to an Eved Kalaini. The pasuk says, "La'olam ha'am tavoides." Rabbi Shmuel said, "If you want to, you can keep him forever. If you want to, you can free him." And we pass like Rabbi Akiva that it's a chayva. Tosis there, yes, the kasha. We always assume that there are 613 mitzvahs. Here you have three psukim which Rabbi Akiva considers mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel does not consider mitzvahs. According to Rabbi Akiva, doesn't it turn out that you have 616? According to Rabbi Shmuel, you only have 610. You're missing three. The Taisa says, Mistama Rabbi Shmuel probably has three different mitzvahs that Rabbi Kiva will disagree about. That's what the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs writes the same thing. That all the Tanoim, many Midrashim seem to assume that there's 613 mitzvahs, and whenever you have a mitzvah that one opinion deletes from the minyan mitzvahs, so he'll probably replace it with other. That's what the Ramban did. The Ramban deleted about 17 mitzvah sesei, around 16, 17 mitzvah sloi sesei from the minyan of the Rambam. So he had to replace them with others. So that's what he thinks that that's what the Tanoim did also. The question is, which were the three mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel replaced over here? So one of the Achrayim gives a suggestion, Eksav Sofer in the Hakdomah to his Tshuvas, quotes this from the Yad David, that Rabbi David's inside. So he gives a suggestion, he says there's a Mishnah in Menachos, that there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim about the dalet tzitzios. When you have tzitzis in the four corners, are ba'asam mitzvah achas? That's how we paskin. All four are one mitzvah. Or are ba'asam dalet mitzvahs? Rabbi Shmuel happens to hold are ba'asam dalet mitzvahs. So he says, there you have it. Rabbi Shmuel just added on another three mitzvahs. So those are the three mitzvahs that Rabbi Kiva held, that you have three different mitzvahs, lo yitam and so on. So Rabbi Shmuel adds on these. So the Ksav Sofer writes, he thinks that that's a joke. He doesn't think that that's correct. If you have a house that has 20 rooms, so you have an obligation to put on 20 mezuzahs. So we fulfill 20 mitzvahs by putting on 20 mezuzahs. But in the minyan of mitzvahs, you don't count it as 20 mitzvahs. And if you have a house that has 30 rooms, so in your minyan of mitzvahs, you have 30 mitzvahs. And he has a house that only has 5 rooms. The minyan mitzvah is one mitzvah to put a mezuzah on every door that's chayv a mezuzah. So you say tzitzis. The mitzvah to put tzitzis. So there's a machalik, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shmuel thinks that the dalit tzitzis anam akum zeze. So if you have one tzitzis in one corner, so you fulfill one mitzvah. If you have two tzitzis in two corners, you are fulfilling two mitzvahs. If you have three in three corners, you have three. We paskan abosam akum zeze. If you don't have all four, so you're not mekayim any mitzvah. When you have all four, you mekayim one mitzvah. So it's just enough gemina whether ma'akvim zeh, and whether you mekayim four mitzvahs. If you have four corners, you mekayim one mitzvah. But in the minyan mitzvahs, it doesn't make sense to count it as four mitzvahs. is only counted as one mitzvah. Maybe you repeat the mitzvah four times if you put in all four corners. Maybe only one mitzvah if you put in all four corners. But that doesn't answer the Tosfos kasha. That can't be. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. That doesn't make sense to say that those are the three missing mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel didn't add on any more mitzvahs. Anyway, so getting back over here, so there is a din of lo yitama. So lo yitama, we pass lo yitama is a chayvah. So what is that mitzvah to be mitami to design chayvah? We pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel lived after the Churban Abayis. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Churban Abayis. The Gemara quotes in the end of Zochem Dav Kuf that already Bizman Abayis, this was an ongoing debate, whether the Kohen is obligated to be mitami to design kravim. This was, the machlokes was repeated in different generations. And already Bizman Abayis, before Rabbi Kiva was born, it was accepted, his opinion was the accepted opinion. Now, a lot of times, Rabbi Verava were the first ones who came up with the machlokes, whether Yerushalayim Midas, Abi Yerushalayim, not properly, was debated in many generations over and over and over again, until he finally came to a conclusion. That's it. Halacha Kabbai V'Yalkagam, Yerushalayim Midas, Lo Havi Yerush. The same thing over here. Many issues were debated in the different generations. So we have two. So that pasuk lo yitama, the Gemara understands that the kohen is obligated to be mitame. The way we assume the kohen is obligated to be mitame, or even according to the other Tana Rebbe Shmuel, that is permissible. So the yisayid adin is out of kavod abrius. That pasuk is the marker for the mitzvah of kavod abrius lo yitama. And the Gemara has a whole sugi in brachas and daf chav kavod abrius is sometimes deicha dinim deraisa, sometimes deicha dinim derabbanon. A whole story, different cases. Halacha Maisa comes up every so often when Kavod Abrius is Dech, when Kavod Abrius is not Dech. So the whole Yisoid of the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius comes from that pasuk. A lot of people make a mistake, they only have respect for the dead. When people are alive, they don't have respect for them. So the Gemara says that that's not correct. When the pasuk says that lo yitama, you have to show Kavod Abrius to the dead, that means afilu to the dead people, kavod chaimah to the living people. Mar says in the second parak in Ksubis, when you have a wedding procession marching, going with the chasen kala to dance to their wedding, and then you have a funeral procession, and they come to a crossroads, and it's either they're going to take presents or they're going to take presents. They can't both go at the same time. So the Gemara says that you let the chasen kala go first, and the funeral go second. So the Shittim Kubetz says on that Gemara, that this is a yisoy that Kavod HaChaim takes precedence over Kavod HaMeis. Kavod HaChaim is always more chomer than Kavod HaMeis. It's like a big machlokes in Mishneh Brura, Kfuras HaMeis on Yontem Sheni. Why do we allow, the Mishneh Brura quotes it over there, so why do we allow Kfura on Yontem Sheni? Is that a special heta on Yontem Sheni? Or is that because Kavod HaBiyis is Dech HaDinim DeRabbanon? The Gemara says Kavod HaBiyis, the sugyan brachas davcha of kavod abis is dech adinim derabbanon. The Gemara happens to be talking about kavod achayim. The Gemara never says explicitly about kavod ameis. So that's a big machlokes harishayim in Beitza. Machlokes the Meiri lived in Provence. Provence is an area in between France and Spain that was disputed between the different countries who should be the balabos over Provence. So there were rishayim who lived in Provence, the Rivet and the Balamor and the Meiri, a lot had a whole tradition. So when the Ramban passed away, I guess the Rashba took over. So a lot of the people said, I'm going to learn by the Rashba. We all learn together. He doesn't know better than me. So they decided the grass is green on the other side. So they decided they're going to go to Provence to learn by the big Dolem in Provence. Some of them were not greater than the Rashba. Some of the Rashba was greater than them. I don't know. So when they moved from Spain, the Ramban lived in Barcelona, I think. So when they moved from Spain to Provence, so they carried with them all of their minhagim, and in Provence they had from Dere Deris, they had different minhagim. So they caused a lot of conflict. So the Miri wrote a whole sefer, Mogen Ovis, to defend the minig of Avosov, his ancestors' minhagim over there. That's now they sell a sefer, it's called Shadus Uchuvas of the Meiri. It's not really Shadus Uchuvas, it's one long essay. He discusses something like 24 minhagim that when Chachmei Hasfardim, when the Talmidei HaRamban came, they started to tumult that the people in Provence are not following the halacha properly. So the Miri defended all of the practices. So in that sefer, in the Mogen Ovis, he has this big issue. He has on his commentary on the Gemara also. He has this big issue which the Mishneh Berurah quotes in Hilchos Yontif, when he talks about Kfuras HaMeis on Yontif Sheni. Is that based on the rule that Kavod HaBiyis is Dech HaDinim DeRabbanon? They say no, Kavod HaBiyis is only Dech HaChaim is Dech HaDinim DeRabbanon. covered up kvuris amesi antav sheni is a separate halacha. It's nothing. It's not based on the rule that covered up is there. So that we assume that covered chaim is more chomer than covered amesi. Here the pasuk says that there's an obligation to deliver hesped. So the Gemara is not sure whether the obligation to deliver hesped is out of covered amesi. You have to show covered to this mace. So you have to be mechabedim by saying his milah. So they say no, that the chiyuv hesped is really based on kavod achayim. We want to show that living people are important. And when a little cockroach dies, we don't do anything special. When a behemoth dies, we don't make an announcement. And when a human being dies, we want to deliver a hesped to show the chashivas of living people, not so much the chashivas of this dead person. The way we show chashivas for the chayim is by speaking about the milas that this person has. But we're really not so interested in bringing out the kavod amesim. We're really interested in showing kavod achayim. So the mai nafkemina, whether you say it's kavod achayim or kavod amesim, so the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, nafkemina is, what if the man leaves with tzavoya, al tisbeduni? He says, I'm mevater, I bedavke don't want any hesped. So if it's kavod amesim, so he says no is no. But if it's kavod achayim, he's not the balabos to be moichel on the kavod achayim for the other people. So the accepted psak halacha is that it's kavod amesim, and if the person says don't deliver hesped, so there's no chiyuv to deliver hesped. If it's onus shalodim zel kvodo, if that's what he wants, he says my kavod is that you should not deliver hesped. So then you should not deliver hesped. He doesn't want it. So in Yerideya, on the bottom of the page, in the end of Chelek Gimel Yerideya, they have all the dinim of Bika Cholim, they have the dinim Hilchas Roife, then they have the dinim if the Roife didn't succeed and the patient died, so he talks about Ripping Kriya, Tumas Koyanim, then it has all the laws of Kvura, all the laws of Avelus, Aninus Avelus. The end of Yerideya has all these dinim. So the Pizchei Tshuva there quotes the story that when the Pnei Yeshua passed away, he left the Tzavua, many Tzadikim left such Tzavuas that they don't want any Hesped. So at that time, the Balabatim felt uncomfortable not to deliver hesped. So the Nadi Yehuda at Gepaskin that you don't listen to the Tzavor. That when does the Gemara say that covered, that delivering a hesped is covered amesim, and if the person leaves instructions that he doesn't want any hespedim, that you don't deliver the hesped, that's only if it's a plain person who died. But if it's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, then everybody would agree that it's a kavod achayim. The people in the community want to brag about the fact that the Pnei Yeshua lived in their community, that he was the rabbi in their community. People in Frankfurt did not brag. He was the rabbi in Frankfurt and they fired him and they chased him out of town right before Rosh Hashanah, and it was pouring when they chased him out of town. So his wife caught pneumonia and she died. The Balabatim killed his wife. And then he moved back. He was not a Yekki, he was a Galatiana. So they sent him back where he came from. But when he died somewhere else. So the people in that community were proud about the fact. People in Frankfurt couldn't care less. They didn't want him. But the people in the other community, wherever he died, they wanted to brag about the fact that the Pnei Yeshua was treated with respect in their community. So they wanted to deliver hesped. So that's when the Nodi Behuda, he's Paskin, when it's a very prominent figure in Adam Gadol Meod. So then not only is it Kavod HaMeisim, it's Kavod HaChaim as well. And then you don't honor the tzavah. So today, the common practice is that any rabbi dies, you say, oh, Agadol Hador died, so you don't listen to the instructions, so you deliver a hesped. It has to be within reason. If he's as great as the Pnei Yeshua, then you have a psak from the Nodi Behuda. If he's not as great as the Pnei Yeshua, then you got to discuss it, whether the psak of the Nodi Behuda applies or not. The pasuk says, V'liv Kosa, he came to cry over the death of his wife. The Gemara has in the end of my cut, the Gemara says Gimel Yamim Lebechi, that he cried for 3 days. So the question is, how do you translate that? The Gemara Gimel Yamim Lebechi, the Ovel is obligated to cry for 3 days. That's out of Kovod Ames, or you say Gimel Yamim, he's permitted to cry. So the Svasemes and his Chidushim in the end of Masechah Shabbos interprets the Gemara my cut and Gimel Yamim Lebechi doesn't mean you're obligated to cry. Gemara seems to say in Masechah Shabbos that it's not proper to cry. The Gemara Moed Katan also seems to say it's not proper to cry. If one cries over the death, even a young person dies and he leaves a lot of children in a terrible tragedy, everything is a terrible tragedy. So if one cries over how disastrous the tragedy is, in effect what you're doing is complaining, implicitly you're complaining against the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People don't die accidentally. There must have been a gzeirah min hashamayim that the person should die. So if Min HaShemayim, they want him to die, we believe Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavavid, when the relatives recite the bracha, Baruch Dayinu Emes. So the Gemara says in the end of brachas that they have to recite the bracha b'simcha. They have to be mekabel b'simcha. They have to have a munah. It's very hard. They have to have a munah that call my David Rachmana l'tavavid, that it's a teiva, that it's not a roar. So what are they crying about? They should be dancing. The Rosh Hashanah did a wonderful thing. He killed my father, and he left all these yisayimim, and the almana has no parnasa. So we don't understand why it's wonderful, but it was supposed to have a munah that it's a wonderful thing. They write in the Sefer Tenuas HaMusar. So he, Rav Dov Katz, that's Rabbi Katz's father from Yeshiva Tal, he used to be in Yeshiva Tal Kotel. I think still is in Yeshiva Tal Kotel. So he tells over the story there that one of the big Bali Musar, when they moved the Slabotki Yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael, so one of the Bali Musar lost his young, he had a son who was in his 20s, very promising young Talmid Chacham. So the father was very distraught over that. So they had a funeral. So the father came an hour late to the funeral. And he was known as a big Bal Musa, very makbid on Zmanin. What did he come late to keep everybody waiting for an hour? They couldn't understand it. So afterwards, in the middle of Shiva, someone asked him, why did he come so late to keep everybody waiting? So he said, the Gemara says you have to recite the bracha of Dayinu Emes b'simcha. You have to have a munah that this is l'tayva. He says it took him an hour to review in his mind that this, how can it be L'Toiva? This was his son who was so promising, such a young Talmid Chacham, he wasn't married yet. So he had it took him an hour till he was able to recite the Baruch, Baruch Dayinu Emes, with this Chizuk Evamun. So really when the Gemara says, Gimel Yomim Lebechi, the Sfas Emes claims that that's really a heter. It means we allow you to cry for 3 days, even though crying should really be osur, because whenever a person cries over the tragedy of the death of a relative or an acquaintance, whatever it is, that's really an act of kfira. It's an act of apikursus. It's as if you don't believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of the world. So if you don't believe that kol ma'adav rachmano l'tavavid, so we say within 3 days, it's like an oinus rachmano patre. How can a person control himself? You can't fault the person if he's going to sin by crying over the tragedy. After 3 days, we say he can't control himself, he's not allowed to cry. That's how the Sfas Emes interprets him. Psachidish. Gimel Yom Lebechi means it's a heter. It doesn't mean you're mechuyev to. It's a heter. If you cry for 3 days, first 3 days, so we can't fault the person. That's what Rav Soloveitchik once suggested. The din is that in Oinen, Misha Mesa Muta Lefono is part of Mikola Mitzvahs. Only Mitzvahs Asay, not Mitzvahs Leis Asay. And we paskan like Tosis and Machlekes Rashi and Tosis and Brochas and Perik Misha Mesa Muta Lefono. So we paskan third Perik and Brochas. So we paskan like Taisus, the Mishan Beis Mutal Lefano was not only potter mikolam mitzvahs, he's osur, he's prohibited to fulfill the mitzvahs. So what kind of a din is that he's potter mikolam mitzvahs? Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe al derech hadrasha a little bit, that maybe we should consider the Mishan Beis Mutal Lefano as if he's a little bit temporarily lav bardas, because he's not balanced at that time. He can't think straight. He's so distraught over the death of his relative. So he's totally unbalanced. So to a certain extent, we have a din of itim chalim itim shoyt. If a person has a temporary fit of insanity, so while he's temporarily a shoyt, he's part of mikol ha-mitzvahs. Yeah, a real temporarily insane is part of a mitzvah sesei and for mitzvah sloy sesei. Yeah, we don't go so far. Yeah, we say just that the oinen is part of from mitzvah sesei. It's not part of mitzvah sloy sesei. A suggestion, al derech hadrash. Maybe that's the reason why. Anyway, the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu comes to the Bnei Ches and he says he has to bury his wife. Why do you have to bury his wife? Because it's a mitzvah of kvura. The Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin. In Chumash Dvarim, it says, Ki yevish chet mish bat mabus v'humas v'salisa saleitz v'salim nevala saleitz k'kavetik b'rena b'yam ahu k'kilos alakim toloi, etc. So the pasuk there only speaks about the mitzvah of kvura by Haruge Bezin. Is there a din of kvura by Shar Meisim? A person dies a natural death. So the Ikar mitzvah of kvura only says by Haruge Bezin. You look in the Rambam has Hilchas Ovil following Hilchas Sanhedrin. Why? There are certain things in the Seder. Usually the Rambam Seder is phenomenal. But there are certain quirks in the Rambam Seder that here and there there's something very funny. See, it's a little irregular. He writes, he put Hilchas Ovil after Hilchas Sanhedrin because the Ikar din of Kvura only says by Haruge Bezin. So that's why he put it in that order. Okay, I guess there was no better place to put it. So he put it after Sanhedrin. So the ikar din of kvura shteit by harugi bezin. The question is, kvura bashar meisim, is it deraisa derabonim? So the Gemara has two brises in Sanhedrin, around afam and vofam and deisim. So two brises back to back, word for word, the exact same thing, word for word, with one slight difference. Minayin, how do you know that not only is there a mitzvah of kvura and harugi bezin, there's even a mitzvah of kvura and shar meisim? Tamalam bekav digbrenu dekefal oshin mikol makom. Afilu shar meisim nami. So it's a long lashon abrisa, a few lines long in the Gemara. Then the Gemara says Tanya Idach, and the second brisa says exactly the same as the first, word for word. The only difference is that one brisa says Remez lekvura menatar minayin, the other brisa says Minayin lekvura menatar shenema. So the Lechem Mishnah on the bottom of the Rambam points this out. Very strange. The two brisa exactly the same. So he thinks this is the difference. Remez usually has the connotation that it's only a din de rabbanon and it's an asmachta. That's how the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Whenever the Gemara says Remez, so Ruba the Ruba of the time, it means that it's a Din Derabban. Those are like Makkas now, in the first daf in Makkas, the Gemara has Remez, Leidim, Zavimim, Shalokim, and Ator, Minayin. So the Ramban says, well, that's an exception to the rule. That's Shalokim, and Ator, that's a real Din Deraisa. That if you can't fulfill by Ben Grusha, Machalutza, that you give them Malkas, that's a Din Deraisa. But Ruba the Ruba, most of the time when it says Remez, it's a dead giveaway that it's only a Din Derabban. So the Lechem Mishnah writes like that. He has the impression that that's the difference between the two brises in the Gemara, because the two brises are word for word exactly the same. With this shinui, the one brisa presents it as if kvura by shar meisim is deraisa. The other one says that it's only a remez. Yeah, how do we assume? So Ramosha has a tshuva. Ramosha Fasha has a tshuva. He says you look in the Rambam. The Rambam assumes that kvura by shar meisim is deraisa, not only by harugi bez. Still, but the Iker mitzvah is kvura. There is a separate din of kvura by haruge bezdin. The Iker din of kvura is by haruge bezdin. The Gemara says usually there's a din ain't koyven tzaddik etzal rosha. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next door rosha, because the whole din of kvura is based on kavar abrius. So kavar abrius, you have to bury people in a mesuda digger fashion. That's why the Mizrahi has their own cemetery, and the Aguda has their own cemetery, and YU has their own chelke. And the Turi Karta have their own. Each group knows that they do a certain degree of sins, so they don't want to bury a tzaddik etzal rosha. So we assume all the people from this group have the same level of religious observance, so you can bury them all together. The other group, bigger tzaddikim, less tzaddikim, wherever it is, they have a different number of aveiros. They're not allowed to bury these people next to the other people. That's why you have a din ein kovin. You have to have a kever Yisrael. That's what the whole story is about in Parshas Chayisor. The Jews have to bury in a separate cemetery, just like Ein Koyven Tzadik Eitzel Rosha, because it's a bizoyan to the mace. It's not a kovet abrius. So too, you're not allowed to bury Yisrael next to Nochem. So in the Mishnah, it says there were the Mishnah Sanhedrin around Daf Mem Hei Mem Vav says that there were two bati kvoris hoyu sham, one for Niskolim in Israf and one for Nechnokim in the Harogim. Really, this should be a violation of the din of Ein Koyven Tzadik Eitzel Rosha, because Skila and Sreifa are not the same level of severity. One is Mahoma than the other, Machlekes HaTanaim, which is Mahoma. And Chenek and Saif are also not on the same level. So you should really have four different cemeteries, and maybe four is not really enough. We nailed this fellow, we gave him Mises Bezdin because of some Averis. But how many other Averis did he do? Maybe he did another billion Averis. So how can you bury him next to the other person? So the Gemara says, that's Halacha Moshe Messina. The two Batik Varis, Hilchos Gemiri law. So you see that the kvura by haruge bezdin is a separate din. Even if you hold that kvura by shar meisim is deraisa, but kvura by haruge bezdin is a separate parsha, has a separate din to it, that you violate the din of ein koyven tzaddik etzal rosha there. Then Gemara has another din, kavetik berenu, a kefal loshen is marbe. Not only did he bury the mace, he buried the sudur shenechnach bo. Let's say they gave him chenek. They gave mechenek, they choked him with a scarf. So you have to bury the scarf also with the mace. Or they gave Messiah, so you don't keep on using the same sword time and time and time again. After they give saif to one person, they have to bury that saif, tuch dalaram. The Gemara says, you don't bury with it. Emo, you don't bury in the same coffin. Emo, the Gemara says, emo bit tfusasa, tfusasa mace. Tfusasa mace means within dalaram is around the mace. So you have to bury, they gave a person skila. So the Evan Sheniskalbo should be Avonim Sheniskalbohem should be buried within the Alaramas of the Mace. So you see that there is a special din by let's say someone was shot to death, a gangster shot someone to death. So there's no halacha, you have to bury the gun. next to the person, a special din in Harugi Bezin. Learn that from the Pasuk. So you see that there is a special din for Kvura of Harugi Bezin. But nonetheless, we paskin, we assume that Kvura by Shah Mesim is also Derais. The Gemara there raises the question, is it Derais or Derabana? The Gemara says, why not learn that from Avram Avinu? The fact that Avram Avinu is being matriach himself to bury his wife, doesn't it show that there is a mitzvah of Kvura by Shah Mesim? She wasn't Harugi Bezin. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. The din is that there is a mitzvah to show kavod abriyus, kavod amesim, and kavod usually is whatever is mekubal, whatever is the minig. So maybe that was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu, that the minig by the non-Jews. So the Jews also have to bury the mesim, but it doesn't necessarily imply that you can't cremate your mesim if you don't want to bury him. Who's if the minig in your community is that you cremate the mesim? So maybe that becomes the kavod amesim. If it's a din, so it's a din. So you can't really derive from Parshas Chayisara that there's a Chiyuv Kvura, because it could be that that happened to be the Minig Bizman Avram Avinu. So the Gemara learns that from the other Pasuk, Kavtik Bren, the Kefaloshin, that you're not allowed to cremate a mace. Davka mitzvah to bury the mace. Kvura Bekarka has to be Kvura Bekarka. That's where Moshe has a tshuva. If you have a mausoleum, so they have vaults. So you put a mace in a box, in a drawer, and you close the door, and you close the drawer, so they have different vaults. So that's not considered Kvura Bekarka. So Moshe says, those who bury in a mausoleum, I'm about to the mitzvah derais of Kvura Sameis. That's the tshuva. There are different kinds of mausoleum. Sometimes you have, in the days of the Gemara, you used to bury also in Ma'oros, and Bava Basra Daf Kuf, is where the Rashbam has the diagram printed, about what the Ma'oros is like. So they were man-made caves, they weren't natural caves, they were man-made caves, and they used to make vaults in the cave. So that is, even though it's a man-made cave, that's considered Kvura Bekarka. Because Lemaisit Mechuba Lekarka. So sometimes you can bury in a mausoleum, and it'll also be considered Kvura Bekarka. So you have to figure out how much offer, how deep down do you have to bury the mace that it should be considered Kvura Bekarka. How much offer do you have to have? 5 inches. So Rav Moshe has another tshuva about that. He thinks he has rise from the Gemara that 3 tvachim of offer is enough. You don't have to bury 6 feet under. Bury 3 tvachim is enough. Because the halacha says sometimes in Europe this was a common problem. There isn't enough room in the whole world to bury all the mason. You have to have room for the living people also. So every time someone dies, you're going to bury, so the whole world is going to be a cemetery. So in Europe they had a practice that would bury mason on top of each other. They would have different layers of mason from different centuries. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch has a discussion, how much offer do you have to have in between the one mason and the other? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Maseches Smachas, you have to have 6 tvachim of offer in between. So Moshe assumes that the reason why is because every mason needs kvura b'karka, and karka means 3 tvachim. So you need 3 tvachim of offer below, 3 tvachim of offer above, 3 tvachim of offer to the sides as well. So if you have 2 mason, one on top of the other, then you need 6 tvachim of offer, 3 for this mace, 3 for that mace. So if you have 1 mace next to the other, then you have to have 6 tvachim of offer in between, that each mace should be buried for the karka. There is a problem when the government in America requires that you can't bury a dead body in the ground. It's not hygienic for the atmosphere, so you have to bury in a coffin. Bury in a coffin, so that's not kvura b'karka. So you're burying in a coffin. So if you bury in a wooden coffin, the minig is that you bury in a wooden coffin. Why? Because the Medrash comments on the pasuk in Bereishis, after Adam Rishon sinned with the eating from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared. He hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to meet him. So it says, Vayeschabeho Adam Soch Eitz Hagan. Adam Rishon hides among all the trees. That's what it sounds like it says there. So the Medrash says, and that's possible by Ischabeho Adam Soch Eitz Hagan. Mikan, the meaning is that when a person dies, they bury him in a wooden coffin. We hide. That's not what the pasuk is talking about. It's talking about a living person. Adam Rishon didn't want to appear in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam naked, so he hid among the trees. So the Medrash has a remez that you bury people in a wooden coffin. So that's what the pasuk can say. Wood is gidule karka. So if you bury in a wooden coffin, you have a vatal mitzvah of kvura. If you bury in a metal coffin, metal is karka. But the meaning is you don't bury in a metal coffin. That's a recent minig. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have that minig. The Shulchan Aruch quotes brises, we don't have in the Bavli, Shulchan Aruch quotes brises from the Yerushalmi, dinim about burying in a metal coffin and a wooden coffin. in the later years, after the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this minhag that it became stronger, that you bury Dafka in a wooden coffin, not in a metal coffin. I remember one, many years ago, the president of my father's shul manufactured coffins. So at that time, he was the only one who had wooden coffins that didn't have metal nails. He had wooden pegs holding it together. Now they all have like that. So he wanted my father to get him the OU. If you get the OU endorsement, so you get the monopoly. Everybody's going to buy your coffin, because your coffin is the only one that was endorsed by the OU. So that my father told him the OU doesn't, at that time, the OU didn't give any stamp of approval to anything other than food. Now they do. But at that time, they didn't. I don't think they give the Hechsher on coffins, but they give on Plata Shel Shabbat and another lights for Shabbos, other figurine-jigs. But at that time, they only gave. They made a good parnasa anyway without the oil. So that's the meaning on top of meaning. So you use dafka, wooden coffin with wooden pegs. Okay, that's a meaning on top. But strictly speaking, it would have really been better if you bury in a metal coffin, because metal is considered karka. Wood is considered the gidule karka. So that's why the poskim say that you should make a hole in the coffin, preferably on the bottom. By many Hasidim, when they bury the mason, so they take out the whole bottom of the coffin, which is against Dina the Machusa. It's against the law. So there are some people who violate Dina the Machusa. And others don't take out the whole bottom of the coffin. They just make a little hole on the bottom or on the side of something. And we rely on this, that this is considered Kura Bekarka. But the poskim say the more correct really is to bury Bekarka without any Hefsek Dover Achab in time. Rav Sameach has in the Rambam and Hilchas Tumas Meis in Shulchan Aruch, they talk about this. What about burying in cement? They'll put a mace in the ground and then they'll pour cement all over the place. So he says cement is mamish karka. That's karka mamish. How about it? It's good.
And the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel was talking they shouldn't have fancy funerals. They
expensive
tachrich.
Having
fancy coffins.
He spoke about tachrich. So that's a question, we should really carry it over. We should say that just like Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that you're not allowed to have expensive tachrichim, so too, we should have the same practice. You shouldn't allow expensive coffins. So a lot of times people feel guilty that during the parents' lifetime they didn't treat them nicely. So after the parents died, no more any friction. So now they want to show as out of kapara, so they spend a fortune of money to buy the most expensive coffin. So that's a little silly. They can show kavod to their parents by learning Mishnayos and by showing up in shul every day and davening for anomen and saying Kaddish and Yiska, whatever. So they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik about this. He said, no. He said, Rabbi Gamliel's takana was only on tachrichim. He never made a takana on coffins. If the people have this guilt feeling and they feel they want to spend money on the coffin, so let them do whatever they want. But it's really more correct is not to.
What does it help that we
hole in the bottom of the iron, because
on top
there's no,
we're supposed to have three
tvachim,
and
Rosh Pine
said that we're supposed to have three
tvachim
on each side.
Yeah.
How do we take care of the top?
They have three tvachim above or on top of the coffin?
So they don't make a hole on the top.
No, they don't make a hole. No. So we learn out from this parsha, the Gemara says you can't really learn out the Chiyabak Kfura B'Shan Mason. Maybe that was the minig at that time. So the poskim say, but you see from that gemara, whatever is the minig, is assumed to be a choivo. Out of kavod ames, you have to do whatever the minig is. So the minig is that you do a tahara. There are no dinim in the gemara about tahara. The Chacham Sodom writes everything about a tahara is all minhagim. So whatever the minig is, that's what you do. So in some communities, they used to have a minig in Europe. They would rub in egg yolks into the hair. Most of the Chevra Kaddishes don't do that anymore now. That's the way they used to wash dirty hair years ago. Now they use shampoo when they do a tahara for the mace. So they use warm water, they use shampoo to wash the hair, to wash the body. Whatever the minig is, that's what you mechuyev to do. Mitam kavod ames. That's what it would appear from the Gemara. And you have to have dafke kevisol. You have to have a separate kvura for the Jewish people. What do you mean a separate kevisol? How far away do they have to be from each other? So the Achrayim said that you have to have a harchoke of 8 amas, that every kever, every mace, has what the Mishnah refers to as tfisas hakever. Tfusas hakever, tfisas hakever, two girsas. Like the Gemara says, the sudar shenechnag boy, or the sayif shenerag boy, stone kvura toch dalar amas. Ima b'tfisosoi, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So you see that there's a concept in Atara that tfisos ames is within dalar amas, around the mace. So the Achranim came up with this idea that you're not allowed to have interlocking tfisos hakever of a Jew and a non-Jew. So each mace has a tfisos hakever dalar amas svivov. So you're going to have, if you'll have less than a harchok of eight amas between they talk about the Meshumad. The Meshumad is buried and a regular Jew is buried. So you have to have a harchoke, a veid amas in between them. Otherwise you have interlocking tfisa keva and you're in violation of this, then it ain't curved inside the gates of Rosh. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael came up with an einfal that there is a din with the Rabbanim, the end of Masecha Saita, that a mace is metami kol sviv of dalar amas. That's only with the Rabbanim. In our Torah, a mace is metami ba'ohel, if you put your hand or you lean over the mace. That's called ohel. Or you were both ohel hamshocha, or if they carry the mace on top of me. Three kinds of ohel. Either I'm ma'ohel on the mace, or the mace is ma'ohel on top of me. Ohel hamshocha, there's an ohel that extends over me and over the mace. So as exerim mit the Rabbanim, a person may walk near the coffin, and what he realizes is waving his hand. And he may wave his hand over the body or over the coffin, and he may become nitma, tumasochel, without realizing it. So they made a din with the Rabbanim, if you're within dalarams to the mace, so you're tummy. Unless there's a funeral home that has a big wall, and they have a mace inside the wall, and I'm walking in the street in front of the funeral, I don't have to walk dalarams away. I can't put my hand through the wall. I'll break my hand. It's a brick wall. So whenever there's a wall that's mopsik, so then this din the Rabbanim doesn't apply. The Lubavitcher have this practice to have Kohanim go to the cemetery. I remember I once got off of the plane in Kennedy Airport. I came back from out of town. So as you're walking out of the airport, you always have taxis asking you if you want to ride. So the guy comes up to me and says, "Go on to the cemetery?" I said, "What? What cemetery?" He thought I was a Lubavitcher. And I didn't do that. Every other person comes off with a beard. They're all going to the cemetery to visit the Rebbe's ohel. So they have Kohanim go to visit the cemetery. I said, Kohen is not allowed to be metami lemeis. So they have a patent that they have a cardboard wall that's 10 tefachim tall. So it's choytzitz b'fnei atum. And the din is whenever there's a wall, so there's no din midirabanan of tum toch dalarams. Yeah, that's a wall. If there's a funeral home here and there's a brick wall and I can't put my hand through the wall, so then the Gzera de Rabbanan doesn't apply. But if I'm walking with the wall, I have two shoulder straps and it has a whole wall around me that's 10 tefachim tall. So how does that prevent? I can stick my hand out past the wall. So if he's toch dalar amas, so the din of Tumah de Rabbanan still applies. I don't think that's correct at all. Anyway, so one of the Rabbanim came up with this, one of the Rabbanim there, so came up with this Einfal, that the Rambam's Paskins, we just learned the other day, the Rambam Paskins, like Reb Shimon Yochai, the Meis, the Akam Anat, Metamei, Bo'ohel, so this din, the Rabbanim, that a Meis is Metamei, Kol Sviv of Dalar Amas, doesn't apply to Meis, the Akam, the whole Gzera was, Shema Yahil Ola, Below Miskavein, without realizing it. So even if you're mile on the Meis HaYakim, it's not Metam Bo'el. So there's no, it doesn't make sense to say that the Goy Zetuma within Dalaram. It's not that within Dalaram is Yechosh is for Maga Masa, Yechosh is for Ohel. But if Meis HaYakim are not Metam Bo'el, so there's no din of Dalaram. So he said, the Achrayim came up with this Chumrah. You have to have Archok of Chesam, that's between a Meshumad and a Jew, a Tzadik and a Rosha, because the Meshumad is Jewish, he has Tumas Ohel. So then there's interlocking Tvisas HaKeber. But if you want to know how much Archok is in between a Jew and a non-Jew, it's enough with dalar amas, because the goyish emes doesn't have a tefisa sakever of dalar amas. The whole din of tefisa sakever is only with the rabbanon by meisa yisrael. The pashtus I thought was that it is absolutely not correct. I visited a certain place in Eretz Yisrael, so they wanted to show me that they work on Shabbos and Shuvahs. So this is the first shuvah that they showed me. This shuvah by this poisek mefursam that you only need a harchaka of four amas between a kevish or yisrael. And when the Poskim talk about eight amas, that's only between a Meshumid and a Jew. So this is Beferish against many classical Poskim say Beferish not so. And the Pashtus is that the Cheshman is not correct. The concept that Tfisas Hameis, Tfisas Hakever is Dalar Amas is a concept deraisa. The Gemara says that the Imo B'Tfusasoi, that the Sudar Shenechnek Bo and the Saif Shenerek Bo has to be buried at the Minatara, covered to grant a Kefal Oshin. You have to bury the Sayyif Turch Dalar Amis of the Mace. So you see that the concept of Dalar Amis is considered a Tfisas Amis, is a Din Deraisa. What are you going to say? It's only a Din Derabbanon. Mid Derabbanon, they introduced Tuma. So Minatara, what's the use about burying a Tzaddik next to a Rosha? The whole Din of Dalar Amis is only Mid Derabbanon. So when is there a Din of in Kervin Tzaddik to Rosha? You'll have them hugging each other. You're going to take the two mason, one on top of the other. Of course, you're going to have one next to the other. So you say, in our Torah, there's no violation. As long as they're not touching, one next to the other is mutter. Of course not. So you have to have some shear deraisa. So the Achreinim said, they think the shear is tvisa sakever. Tvisa mace is a shear deraisa. By mace yakim, not metami ba'oihel. So they never instituted the tumas, dalaramas. But the concept of tvisa sameis, that it's a dalaramas, that's a concept deraisa.
When we said Enkarvin Tzaddik
Etzer
Rosh, we meant about the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was
everyone
Jewish there? I mean, when we spoke about the
Mekabla Einship. Yeah, so, no, Enkarvin Tzaddik Etzer Rosh is even not by Harugi Bezin, let's say in a cemetery, Chevra Kaddisha, when they bury.
But the Makar is from where? The Makar is from Sanhedrin.
No, the Makar is the Gemara tells from Sefer Melochim that when Elisha Novi was buried, again, when Elisha Navi was buried, so by mistake, the army came and they started to attack the Jewish people. So I think the Pasuk says, by mistake, they buried him in the wrong place next to a Rasha. So the Pasuk says that in order not to be in violation of the din of burying a tzaddik next to a Rasha, so the Rasha had a tchias ha-meisim and he walked away. Why didn't the Rabban Shalom give Elisha Navi a tchias ha-meisim? It's a good question. But he didn't. So he gave the Rasha a tchias ha-meisim. So we're not sure what the end of the story is. He just walked away and then he dropped dead a few steps away. They buried him in a different place. So he walked away and he lived on for another 15 years. So the Gemara is not sure what the end of the story was. But the beginning of the story appears in Tarach. So the Gemara says, the moral of the story is that you're not allowed to bury, you could have said you're not allowed to bury a Novi next to, but the Gemara says, not a Novi. You're not allowed to bury a Tzaddik next to a Rosh. So the person who happened to be buried there, who came back to life, was a Rosh. So it's usually assumed that you need a harchok of eight amas, not to have interlocking tvisas hakever between the Jew and the non-Jew. In Europe, they had different practices in different communities. A lot of times the Jewish cemetery was right next to the non-Jewish cemetery, and the only difference was that they had a fence in between. They would bury the Jewish mason up until the fence on this side, they'd bury the non-Jewish mason up until the fence on that side. So in many communities, they considered that sufficient. And in others, they said no. The mason are buried below the ground. What does it help to put a fence above the ground? Fence above the ground is good for Hilcha Shabbos purposes to make a meira very shusayachid. We're talking about harchoka for the mason, so that you have to determine below the ground. The question is, what if you have harchoka taket more than eight amas below the ground? Do you need a fence in addition? Do you need a fence in addition? The pashta says you don't need a fence in addition. Once you have the harchoka of ches amas, it's enough. So Shlomo Kluge has a tshuva where he says, and the Tuv Tamadas, he thinks that he has the sense that in addition to having the harchoka ches amos below the ground, should also have a fence above the ground, and he compares it to a din in Hilchos Erev Nifritz Lamokam Ha'asala. It's a funny mashal, but that's what many are makbid about that. Avraham Avinu comes to negotiate with the Anshei Ches, and he insists he must have a separate Kever Yisrael. They say, we'll give you the most Bekovedik burial spot for your wife. He says, no. The Jewish people lead a different life while they're alive, and everything is different. Even after they die, everything is different. Rabbi Soloveitchik once told over this story that he was told they once came to him, they wanted him to leave after being here in Yeshiva for so many years, and living in Boston, they wanted him to leave. They wanted to appoint him as the chief rabbi of friends. That's all he needed to be a chief. So they presented the whole story to him, so he turned it down. So while they were presenting, so they were telling him about the shul that they have there in Paris. So the one who came to speak to him was a representative of the Jewish community, a descendant from the Rothschild family from Paris. So they were telling him that they have an organ in the shul, so he convinced them that they should stop using the organ on Shabbos, that that's not right, okay. So even though he didn't take the position, I think they listened to him. They stopped using the organ. So then they told him a story about one of the Rothschilds who that he left instructions. He was born in France, and he was educated in France, and he made all of his money. He got a big Yerusha, made all of his money, he died in France. So he left in his tavor that when he dies, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So when he died, the family was going to bury him. So Charles de Gaulle was then the president of France. And he said, no, what do you mean? He was born in France, he was educated in France, he made all of his money in France, he died in France, he's not going to let him bury. Well, it's a bizoyant to the French country. So just then there was some kind of a war that was going on in Eretz Yisrael or something. So the family succeeded in getting his body on an LL flight to Israel when the government wasn't watching. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was talking about this. The fellow who died was not observant at all. This Rothschild, that wasn't, it wasn't a Shem Shabbos. It could have even been, I don't remember, it could have even been married to a non-Jewish woman. I don't remember the whole story. But he wasn't a religious man. But Ad Kedei Kach, this he knew, that he wants to be buried like a Jew. That's Avraham Avinu's insistence. Says Jewish people are different not only during their lifetime. You're supposed to be different during your lifetime. Everything is supposed to be different. The way of living of a Jew is supposed to be totally different from the way of living of a non-Jew. And even after you die, also supposed to be very different. You have to have Kevin Yisrael. You're not permitted to bury Jewish people in a non-Jewish cemetery. Rav Soloveitchik said that he once heard from his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that a Kohen is only allowed to be metamei outside of the Zayin Kerevim if it's a Meis Mitzvah. So there was a Shaila, Aloha Lamaisa, what if a person is buried in a Goyish cemetery? He is buried. A Jewish person is buried in a Goyish cemetery. And the only one who happens to be there, who could do something about it, happens to be a Kohen. So he said his grandfather was of the opinion that that has the status of a Meis Mitzvah. And the Kohen is permitted to be metapel in the Meis, to take the body out and to bury it in a Jewish cemetery. He said many Gdolim did not agree with his grandfather, but he felt that based on the Parshas Chayisar, that that's considered a bizoyin amei, so great that that's the equivalent of not being buried at all. If you have a dead body and no one's there to be mekabel in the mace, that's called a mace mitzvah. The Kohen is permitted and obligated to be metapel in the mace mitzvah. So he felt even though the body was buried, but it was buried in a Goyish cemetery, that's also the equivalent of a mace mitzvah. Shaila aloha lamais.
The fact that
Adam and
Sarah were the first Jews and
Adam and
Chava were not Jewish, is he still buried in the Sarah there?
I don't know. Maybe there's a Harchoka. I don't remember. Is there a Harchoka Beit Amos between Adam and Avram? I don't know. Don't know. Avram Avinu purchased the Moras HaMachpela with Kesef. He paid a lot of money. So the Gemara says there is an institution of Kiddushi Kesef, which is learned out from the Gzera Shava Kicha Kicha. Some Rishonim say it's not a Gzera Shava, it's a Gila Milsa B'Yalma. Okay, whatever it is, but it's the Alfusa. Kicha Kicha Mizdei Ephron. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus quotes the opening Mishnah from Kiddushin. Lishin Niknis B'Sholosh Drachim Kesef Shtar Abiyo. So the Rambam says there's a difference between them. That Kiddushei Shtar and Kiddushei Bia, that's Torah Shebichsav, and Kiddushei Kesef is Divrei Sofrim. Kiddushei Kesef is Divrei Sofrim. So that's a big question. What does he mean by Divrei Sofrim? So there's a long Kesef Mishnah there. The Rambam uses that expression more than most other Rishonim. Divrei Sofrim. So sometimes in the Rambam it means a Din de Rabbanan, and sometimes it means a Torah Shebal Peh. A Din de Rais, it's only known through the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So there were those who misunderstood the Rambam to mean that Kiddushei Kesef is only the Rabbanan. So the Kesef Mishnah has a long Arichas, and he explains that that's a mistake, that the Rambam never meant to say that it's only the Rabbanan. He meant that it's only known through the Torah Shabbat Peh. So what does the Rambam have to, what's the difference? Torah Shabbat Peh is also a Din Daraisa. So the Kesef Mishnah says, no, the Rambam is quoting a Gemara, and it does have an Afkamina Ledina. The Gemara is later on in Gittin's Gemara, in Tzuba's Gemara, Baba Basra, many different places. The Gemara has, you have certain cases where a woman is an Eishes Ish, and with the Rabbanon, we declare the marriage, Avkin Rabbani Kedushim, we declare that the marriage is not valid. So the Gemara says, we have a rule, Ein Kerech B'Yad Chachamim L'Kadov Menatar B'Kum L'Yaseh. The rabbis have authority that were authorized, Mishmartam as Mishmarti, is a pasuk in Achrei Mois, the end of Achrei Mois. Mishmartim es Mishmarti, so the Gemara says in Yivam is Dav Chafal, that pasuk is the mocker for the authority of the Bezin of the Chachamim to be Goyzek Zeres the Rabbanim. Asum Mishmaris and Mishmarti. have the authority. Aseis Yoglatar, the opening mission in Pirkei Avos. Then we have also other psukim that the Chachamim even have authority to be Erkedav Ben Atayra, if there's a need for it to be Erkedav B'Shevi Altasa. Let's say they decided we shouldn't shake a lulav when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and we shouldn't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Yesh Kerech B'Yarach Chachamim Lakadav Ben Atayra B'Shevi Altasa. They tell us not to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. But the Gemara has a whole pill pulling Gemara. The Babli comes to the conclusion, Ein kerech b'yad chachamim, lakadov men ha-toyra b'kum v'yaseh. The chacham do not have the authority. Let's say the rabbi will get up, will say, we permit you to drive to the synagogue on the Sabbath in order to participate in the prayers. So if he's a reformed rabbi, conservative rabbi, so they give their rabbis much more authority. They hold from their rabbis more than we do. We don't hold, our rabbis are not so big. So they don't, our rabbis don't have authority to do ekadov men ha-toyra b'kum v'yaseh. Only the Hirah Shah, the Migdal Milsah, once in a long while, if it's very important, they have. But on an ongoing basis, not. So the Gemara has the kasha that we have from the Teizah of the Tanoim. Every so often, they make a declaration, even though the woman is married, Afkinah Rabbani Kedushim Minei, they declare, not just in one case, they declare any similar case to this that comes up, we declare that the marriage is null and void. How can they have the authority to do that? That's Akira's Dovman Atar B'Kum V'Yaseh. They permit a woman to violate Lo Sinaf. That's an Aver B'Kum V'Yaseh. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. How did she get married in the first place? Tenech the Kodesh B'Kaspa. I understand if the woman's Kiddushin was Ayideh Kiddushin Kesef, then we understand how the rabbis have authority to be Oike the marriage. But if she was married with Bia, Kiddushin Bia, how do they have the authority to be Oike that? So why did the Gemara think that it's easier? Why do the Gemara think that there is some mechanism whereby you can be yoke of the marriage if the marriage was only Ayidei Kiddushi Kesef? So some Rishonim say that Kiddushi Kesef is only the Rabbana. So Rashi goes berserk about that. It's ridiculous. What do you mean Kiddushi Kesef is the Rabbana? It's learned out of Yalfusa, Kicha Kicha Mr. Ephraim. So the Rambam understood, no. Rashi misunderstood those Rishonim. They didn't mean to say that it's only the Rabbana. They meant to say that it's only Torah Shabbat Peh. And you have dinim deraisa that are Torah shebichsav. Those are stronger than dinim deraisa that are only known through Torah shebal peh. And when the Gemara has the klal ein kerech b'yad chachamim lakadov men ha-toyra b'kum v'yaseh, that's only if it's a dove men ha-torah, if it's Torah shebichsav. But if the din deraisa is only Torah shebal peh, true, it's deraisa, but it's only Torah shebal peh. So yesh kerech b'yad chachamim lakar divrei sefer b'kum v'yaseh. That's the long kesem mishnah on the first page in Hilchas Ishus. That the Rambam is just quoting the Gemara, he's not making up his own klal. The Gemara said, "Teinach the Kodesh b'Kaspo, Kodesh b'Bima, Yikala Meimar." The Gemara gives an answer there. So you see from that Gemara that it's important to keep this in mind that Kiddushi Kesef is only Torah Shabbat Peh. The Prima Godin writes a Psicha Kolelas, a general introduction to Orach Chaim, which is really a general introduction to the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. So this is what he starts with. He starts off, there are different levels of dinim deraisa, then there are dinim derabbanon, then the din derabbanon with an asmachta, without an asmachta. We discussed part of that when we were learning the Tesis about Erevei Tchumen versus Erevei Chatzeres. Erevei Tchumen is more chomer than Erevei Chatzeres because you have an asmachta. So the Prima Godim starts off with this. You have a din deraisa that's written, Torah Shebichsav, that's more chomer than a din deraisa that's only known through Torah Shebal Peh. And he starts off by quoting this Kesef Mishnah. He quotes other sources, other areas of halacha where we distinguish between something that's only known through the Torah Shebal Peh as opposed to something that's based on Torah Shebichsav. You have a din of Maseches Nazir. If, let's say, a Nazir is not allowed to be mitame even to the Zayin Krovim, like a Kohen Gadol, not allowed to even mitame. So let's say there's a Kohen walking down the highway and he seizes a Jewish dead body. It's a Meis Mitzvah, there's no one there to be metapel the mace mitzvah, so he's mekabel the mace. What if a kohen and a kohen gadol walk down the highway? And they find the mace mitzvah. So one of them has to be metamit in a mace mitzvah. Who should be metamit? So the mission says, well, the kohen's isa to be metamit the mace is less chomer than the kohen gadol. Kohen gadol is not even allowed to be metamit to the zayin krovim. So let the kohen be metamit as opposed to the kohen gadol. Then the Mishnah says, what if you have a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are walking down the highway? They both have the exact same Chaymer Adin. They're not even allowed to be Metame to the Zayin Krovim. So that's a Machlekes Ablez and a Chachamim. Which Isser is Machomer? The Kohen Gadol or the Nazir? So then Yerushalmi in Nazir has more details about this. Yerushalmi has What if you have two Nazirim walking down the highway? What Nazir was Mekabel Naziris on himself already Nazir? Kamashikasa Batar says, Ish Kida, Isha Isha Kida, Neda Nazir, Hazel Hashem, except Neda Naziris. The other Nazir, the father, was Madir as Benob Benazir. The father made him into a Nazir. He never accepted it on his own. How do you know there's such a din of Hav, Madir as Benob Benazir, that the father, the Mishnah in the Nazir has, the father has the ability to declare his son as a Nazir? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan says, it's halacha l'moshe nisina. So the Yerushalmi says, what if you have two Nazirim walking down the road? One is a Nazir through the halacha l'moshe nisina. One is a Nazir based on what it says in Chumash, Torah Shebichsav. So the Yerushalmi says, let the Nazir who's only known through halacha l'moshe nisina be metami to the meis mitzvah, as opposed to that one who's a Nazir based on Torah Shebichsav, because the din that says in Torah Shebichsav is considered more chomer than a din that's only known through the halacha l'moshe nisina. So they pre-Megadim in the beginning of the Psicha Kalalis. This is the first section that he talks about. The Rambam writes something very interesting. The Rambam writes beginning of Hilchas Ishus that there are three kinds of Kiddushin. That's Kesev, Shtar, and Bia, and Kesev is only Midivrei Sofrim, Torah Shabbal Peh. And then the Rambam writes a little further, and even though the Kesev, Kiddushin Kesev, is only known through the Torah Shabbal Peh, the meaning is that the Jews are Mekadosh B'Kesev. We give a ring. We give Kesev, Ashav, a Kesev. So Kiddushah Bia, the rabbis prohibited. Nishon Pritzusa. What's wrong with Kiddushah Shtar? How come no one does Kiddushah Shtar? Everybody does Kiddushah Kesev. We do Kiddushah Ashav, a Kesev. So from the Rambam it sounds like, what's the Lashon? Kvanoga Kol Yisrael, the Kaddish B'Kesev. So we know that the Karoim, all the Karoim, there are three different groups of Karoim from Europe, from Asia, from Africa. They have different practices, but this Tzad HaShav they all have, none of them have Kiddushei Kesef. So that's, and the Rambam was a lot of times fighting with the Karoim. So the Rambam writes, the meaning by the Orthodox Jews is that we do Kiddushei Kesef to emphasize that we do subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. If we would have done Kiddushei Shtar, would have been better, would have been Mamish Torah Shabbat. But we want to demonstrate whenever possible that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rambam has such a line in Hilchas Mila also. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Chulin, the first paragraph in Chulin. You can perform the Bris Mila either with a knife or with the scissors or with a blade of grass if it can cut, or with a piece of paper if it's sharp enough to cut. Sometimes you can cut your finger on a piece of paper, or with a cut piece of glass or anything, wood, metal, whatever material. And then he says, and the minig is that we use dafka knife. So why is the minhag to use a knife? Would it make more sense to use the scissors? You're cutting something. So they use a knife, and the moyel, let's say this is the Eva Hazar, the moyel pulls up the whole Or HaOrla, and he cuts like that. Why is he cut like that? Why doesn't he cut around? So, years ago, there was a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Professor Simcha Asaf. He was in the Rabbanut, and he was his field was Jewish history. So he published a lot about the Tshuvas HaGoyim and the history of the days of the Goyim. So he has in one of his many books on the history of the Goyim, he writes, in the Karaitic literature we read that they insisted on performing Bris Mila Dafka with the scissors. As the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua says, when they came to Gilgal, they did a Bris Mila Mitzrayim, and then the 40 years they were in the Midbar, the Gemara says the Ruach Tzfeinus was not Menashevis, the weather conditions were not favorable for performing a bris mila, there was a suffix sakana. So Shevet Levi were the only ones. Kushamar Brischa of Rischa Yinsoru. Kushamar Mesech of Rischa Yinsoru. Shevet Levi observed bris mila the whole 40 years in the midbar. They were not worried about the suffix sakana. And the rest of the Shvatim, the rest of Klal Yisrael, were worried. So they didn't perform bris mila. Just that's also a strange thing. They had an Orthodox rabbi there, Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he have to say about this? So you're right, and they're right, and they're also right. Everybody's right. Well, what does the din say? Is it a suffix sakana? Is it not a suffix sakana? So apparently, it's only considered a suffix sakana. It's not a 50-50 suffix sakana. It wasn't. No one died from Shevet Levi. Nobody died. So obviously, it wasn't anywhere near. They should have 50% of them should have died from performing. The answer is way less than 50-50. So how much of a percentage of a sakana do you have to have that it should be considered a suffix sakana? So there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sefer where he said, the Gemara says, b'sakana lahocha b'pikuach nefasha sachar haroiv. Even if it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, you don't go basaroiv. But the Chasam Sefer writes in the tshuva, you have to have a limit. If it's one chance out of a billion, that's not called a suffix sakana. And if the guy's nervous, give him a tranquilizer. That's ridiculous. Echad me'elef alfei alofim is called a suffix sakana. That's not a suffix sakana. So all the poskim say, if it's 1%, 0.5%, whatever, so then it depends if people are nervous or people are not nervous. A guy's going to jump off of the Empire State Building and say, look, ma, no hand, and he's not nervous. What do you mean? So that's a suffix sakana, for sure. He has no right to do that. That's a real suffix sakana. If it's anywhere near 50-50, if it's more than 50-50, worse than a suffix sakana. But if it's very far away from 50-50, it's 1%, 0.5%, or something like that, then it depends, is it normal for people to be nervous or not? So over here, this was the situation. The weather conditions were such that it was a little bit unhealthy to perform bris milah. So Shevet Levi had bitachon, they were not nervous. So for them, it's not a suffix sakana. For the rest of the Shvatim, they were nervous, so it is considered a suffix sakana. So they're both dry taken. Whenever you have a situation that's very questionable, how dangerous it is, and it's nowhere near 50-50, so then the din is, it depends on each individual person, whether he's nervous or not. So you have, for 40 years in the Midbar, the Rov of Klal Yisrael, the only question is, what right do the parents have to determine about the children? You should ask the child whether he's nervous or not. The parents have a right to decide that there's no suffix sakana on the children. So that has to be touched up a little bit. But you see from that story in the Gemara that that's the basic rule. So the Psukim and Yoshua say that for 40 years in the Midbar, the majority of Klal Yisrael didn't observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah because they considered it a suffix sakana. So when they came to Gilgal, so they did a big communal Bris Milah. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yeshua, Kach lecha charvos tzurim, v'shuv moles b'nei Yisrael shenis. How do you translate the word, Kach lecha charvos tzurim? So the Karoim had their Torah Shebaal Peh. They have their own Torah Shebaal Peh. You can't live without a Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's not that they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They invented their own Torah Shebaal Peh. So they interpret charvos tzurim means the scissors, two sharp blades that cut one against the other. So they came up with this sign for the new din. You can only perform bris milah with the scissors. So the Rambam lived amongst the Karoim. So he writes, the minig is that you don't use the scissors. We go out of our way to demonstrate that we don't follow anything that the Karoim say, not lahakal, not lahachmer. We follow our tradition. So the Gemara says that a knife is acceptable, so we are mahadah bedavka to use an izemel, to use davka a sake, not to use a scissors. We have such a practice also when we gave to cholim. And the third parak of Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara has all the details, parakira has all the details of when is Shehiyah permissible to leave food on the fire from Erev Shabbos, when you're permitted to do Achzara to put food back on top of the fire. So there are a lot of details over there. So the Baal HaMor has his own opinion. Rabbi Mizrachi Alevi from Provence has his own opinion at the bottom of the rift. And he says, lest the person will say, Malon of Alatzor Azos, what do I need the whole headache? We'll eat cold cuts on Shabbos, we'll eat everything cold. Who needs hot? So the Baal HaMor says, no. He's the author of this famous line, whoever doesn't have chamin on Shabbos, tzorch b'dika achrav, you have to check to see maybe he's an apikoros. Because we know that the Karoim misinterpreted the pasuk, l'sevarash b'chol ma'shvesech b'yoyim ha'shabbos, not that you're not allowed to light the fire, you're not allowed to leave lights on in the home. They used to sit in the dark on Friday night. So Friday night, Friday evening, they had warm food, it was warmed up on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos morning, they couldn't have any warm food. So we have a tradition that bedavke, you have to go out of your way to make sure that you have warm food on Shabbos morning. And that's the line, the famous line that the Baal HaMor has. The Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchos Shabbos, that whoever does need chamin, either hot cholent or hot tea, hot coffee, whatever, the Shabbos tzarech b'dika achra, you have to check maybe he's an apikoros. So we have such a practice by the Kiddushei Kesef also. We learn that kicha kicha misteyach. Rabbi Hirsch has an essay in his volume, Chorev, that the Apikursim, he has a lot of beautiful essays there. So he has an essay that the Apikursim were making fun of the rabbis in the Talmud, that they compare taking a wife to buying real estate. Just like Avram Avinu paid money to the farmer and he bought the real estate, so too the Jewish man pays money to the girl's father and he buys the daughter and he takes her away. He owns his wife. He buys his wife and he takes her away on his shoulders. So they made fun of the rabbis that they consider getting married the same as buying real estate. So Rabbi Hirsch has an essay about this. He says, first of all, those who know how to learn know that there's in Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzadik, there's a famous machlokes between the Sma and the Taz. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara that karka is niknis bekesef and b'shavi kesef, so you can be kind of karka bepruto. Kind of karka bepruto? This $20 million building across the street, they'll sell it to me, I'll pay a pruta and I'm kind of the building. But the building is worth $20 million. How can you be kind of bepruto? So the Sma says that's only if the karka is only worth a pruta, or if the rest of the meha mekach is, they made as a kifas milva. So Skifas Milva means that I no longer owe the rest of the money, the tourist tashlumi, the Meha Mekach, the Demei HaMekach is all paid up, I owe a chob stam. So the Sma postulates, the Sma understands that the karkas niknas bekesef is kesef the Meha Pirot. It's the Meha Mekach, you're paying for the value of the house. How much is it worth? So when you pay for the value, that's how you claim the house. So the Taz there disagrees on Choshmish, but he says no. When you buy karkas, niknas bekesef, it's kesef kinyan, it's just a symbolic act. I'm going to pay $20 million for the building, and I pay you a penny, I give you a dollar. You're not going to subtract the dollar from the debt. The dollar I give you is just symbolic to be kind of the house. And now I owe you the full $20 million. You don't even deduct it from the Dmei HaMekach. It doesn't have to be Dmei HaMekach at all. The Haraya, the Taz says, the Gemara learns that, that when you get married, you come in Mekadosh and Isha bekesef, you're paying, when you give the girl a ring that's worth $250. That's how much the girl is worth, $250. You're paying the Meha Mekach. Either she's priceless or she's worthless. But she's not worth $250. That's not the Meha Mekach. And there is not the Meha Mekach. You're not buying a person. He doesn't own his wife. Isha Nik, this means it's a Maisi Kinyan, but it's not a Chalois Kinyan, it's a Chalois Ishus. So the Taz says, if you're learning out Kichikicha Mr. Ephron, and by Kiddushi Kesef, for sure it's not the Meha Mekach, it's not Piron the Meha Mekach. So this sheds light on the original Kicha, by this Day Ephron. When you buy Karkas, Niknas, Bekesef, it's also not Kesef Piron. It's Kesef Kenyan, it's just a symbolic act. So that's number one. You have to have your head screwed on straight. Not that you learn out from Kenyan Kesef by Karka to Kenyan Kiddushi Isha, that the rabbis viewed getting married to Kesef, the farmer buys himself a wife and he takes her away and he owns his wife and he can do whatever he wants. No! We know what Kiddushi Kesef is, just a symbolic act, so this shows that that's the pshat in Kinyan Kesef by Karka. If it's only Kesef Kinyan, it's not Kesef Piron, it's just a symbolic act. Then he says, number two, why did the rabbis want to learn out from Avraham Avinu? They wanted to show you that the husband should have such respect for his wife, he should be prepared, even after she dies, to pay Arba Meas Kesef Shekel or Vela Socher. The Gemara says it then, the husband has to be Mechabed his wife. Mechabed is Ishta Yosem Igufa. Oyev is Ishta Gigufay, Mechabed Yosem Igufay. If he only has, let's say the person gets some extra money, so and he can either buy an extra dress for his wife, he can buy a new suit for himself. So if his wife already has 5,000 dresses and he only has one suit, so let him buy a suit for himself. But if his wife has enough and he has enough, and now he gets an extra $200, so the din is he should spend the money on the wife. Mechabda yosem igufa, it has to be mechabda the wife. And mechabda doesn't mean to hold the door for her to go first, and to hold the chair, to have her sit down, or to put on her coat or something. Chad means to spend money. The Gemara says, Rava told us Talmidim. The Gemara in Bogman says, Rava told us Talmidim. Akiru nishaychu keecha ditisasro. You have to be mechabed your wives, you have to spend money on your wives within reason, as a skula for Ashiras. The Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, when Sora was taken by Avimelech, how does it say that Avimelech gave a lot of money to Avraham Avinu because of Sora? So you see from the Pasuk that in the schus of the wife, that's how the husband makes a lot of money. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch says. The rabbis wanted Bedavke to learn out Kicha Mr. Ephron to set the tone for the marriage, that the husband should know that he has to be Mechabed his wife to spend a lot of money, if he has money. Doesn't have money or not. He shouldn't take on an extra job just in order to buy extra dresses for his wife. But if it's within reason, Avraham Avinu was able to afford it. So he should go out of his way to be Mechabed his wife. So that's why they wanted to learn out this institution of marriage from this pasuk. Gemara has a discussion of Oyle Ima Ben Yeredes Ima. Gemara has a fantastic chiddush. V'hi bu'ul asbol. We had 2 weeks ago. V'hi bu'ul asbol. So the Gemara in Ksubis learns a drasha from that pasuk. Oyle Ima Ben Yeredes Ima. let's say the husband's family, they were always stingy, or they were poor, and they never traveled to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and they never traveled to Mexico for Shavuos. They never went Sukkot to California. They just stayed home all the time. They never had a maid in the wife in the house. The wife did everything, and everything was plain. And the wife's family, they always did all of these things. Or the reverse, and the husband's family, they always spent a lot of money on this, and the wife's family, they never did any of these things. And now the couple gets married, the husband has enough money to afford this. So is he obligated to spend all this money on his wife? So the Gemara says yes. Whichever is the higher standard of living, he's mechuyev to do, if he can afford it, if it's reasonable. The wife has the right to demand either her family style of living or his family style of living, whichever is more becoming. So the Gemara has a shaila. What about after the wife dies? And the husband is mechuyev to spend money on the funeral. So he's mechuyev, let's say in his family, when they have funerals, they spent a fortune. Her family, they had plain funerals, or the reverse. So does this din apply even after she died or not? So Gemara comes to the maskana, probably not. But over here, Avraham Avinu loved his wife so much that he spent a fortune of money to bury her in the most mekaved digger place. Had to be dafke, a separate kevi Yisroel. And he spent dafke a lot of cash for that. Then Avraham Avinu realized he has to shake a leg, he has to get a son, has to get a shidduch for his son and stuff. So Avraham Avinu had Hanefesh Asher Osa Bechora. Avraham is Megayeres Anoshim, Mesorah Megayeres Anoshim, but apparently he didn't want any of these girls for his son Yitzchak. He says, go back to my family. Yitzchak Avinu was a korban, so he's not allowed to leave the chutzlords. He had to send Eliezer, otherwise Yitzchak would go find his own shidduch. So Avraham Avinu says, no. Yitzchak is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, so he has to send Eliezer. And he insists, you have to take a girl from my family. What's the big yichus? His family were of the Avodah Zarah. Here he has all these Bali Tshuva. These are tzaddikim. They're sitting and learning in Kailu. It's not that his family were from birth. They're of the Avodah Zarah. They're still of the Avodah Zarah. So what's so gevaldik about the yichus? From his family. So that is the famous drasha Saran. The Ran says in the drasha that emunah and hashkafa doesn't go in the genes. A person, you have a nefesh asher asa b'choron. They were all convinced, Avraham Avinu convinced them of monotheism, and they were all observing Torah mitzvahs to whatever extent they observed it at that time. So that's not genetic. So the next generation, everything may be lost. But Midas, he claims, the Ran and the Drosha claims that Midas do go in the genes. So he wanted Davka from his family, even though they were of the Avodah Zarah. He says, he told Eliezer, get a girl who's going to believe in monotheism, is prepared to observe all the mitzvahs that we observe. Someone who fits into the family. But I want Davka for my family because the genes are such that they have Midas Tevis. So that's what Eliezer had a test for, to see whether the girl was a Balas Chesed or not. In marriage, usually that's the most important thing, whether the girl is a Balas Chesed. If a person is a tough personality, they're always insisting that they're right. So they're never going to have Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is always based on a compromise, not compromising on the mitzvahs, but compromising on interests. The husband wants to daven in the shul, the wife wants to daven in that shul. He wants to live in one community, he wants to live in a different community. So everything has to be based on a compromise. You have to figure out. Someone has to give in. So if a person is tough, and they always insist everything has to be their way, so it's not going to be a happy marriage. So that's why his test to see whether the girl would make a good shidduch was if she's going to be a balas chesed, if she's prepared to give him a drink and to give to the camels also. And she was a balas chesed. Yeah, a lot of the boys are looking for movie stars. They want to get married to the most good-looking girl in the world. The girl will be the most good-looking if you decide that she's the girl for you, so she'll be very good-looking. You have to look for a girl who's a balas chesed. You have to look for a girl who's a balabasta. Does she know how to cook? Does she know how to diaper a baby? Some of the girls go to university. They become like zacharim. They become like men. They're not interested in cooking. They'll always buy takeout food. They don't know how to diaper a baby. They don't know anything. When you get married, you're not supposed to look for a chavrusa. The chavrusa you have in the base medrash for intellectual challenge. if a person wants to be medaktik and certain yeshiva guy wants to be medaktik with certain chum, certain midas chassidus, so he needs a girl who's intelligent enough to understand what digdukim he's interested in. Okay, but she doesn't have to know how to analyze a gemara, how to analyze a rashbo. That's not what you have to look for. Now. Avraham Avinu had Eliezer swear. Pasuk says, "Vayishavelo al adavar hazeh." He had him swear. He says, "Vashbiacha b'Hashem elokei ha'shamayim elokei ha'aretz shvua b'Hashem." On the first daf in the Dorim, the Ran has this discussion: do you require, does a shvua require shvua b'Hashem, or not necessarily so? So the Rambam's opinion, look in the Rambam Hilchos Shvuah, is the Rambam says the Ikur Shvuah Derais is only Shvuah Bashem or Shvuah Lashem. Either he's swearing by God, it means just like I believe that God exists, so too I swear that I don't owe you the money. And what it means is that if I do owe you the money and I'm lying, that it's equivalent to stating that God doesn't exist. So that's a strong statement, Shvuah Bashem. Shvuah Lashem means I'm not swearing to you, I'm swearing to God. And if I'm telling a lie, that I say I don't owe you the money, if I really do owe you the money, it means I'm lying to God. So that makes the shvuah much more serious. The Rambam Shita, shvuah l'Hashem, shvuah b'Hashem, that's a real shvuah in Torah Shebichsav. Then you have a shvuah learned out from Nevi'im Uksuvim, there's even a shvuah b'li shem Hashem. But the full dinim of shvuah, the Rambam's opinion is only shvuah b'Hashem or shvuah l'Hashem. That's called shvuah b'Shem, when you mention shem Hashem in the shvuah. The Tur has a famous comment in the name of his father, the Rosh. Every Shvuah has to be a Shvuah Bashem, a Shvuah Lashem. Shvuah without mentioning either Lashem, Bashem is meaningless. What do you mean I swear? Doesn't mean a thing. What do you mean I swear? Scouts honor. So Donish. If you don't say either Lashem or Bashem, it's not a Shvuah. But the Rosh says, even if you don't say, it's a Yad, it's self-understood. Let's say a person, we learned the person writes a get, and he leaves out a word here and there. So the words that you left out, if it's self-understood what the missing word is, so that's considered like a yad. A person takes a neder or a shvua and he didn't state the full sentence. The word's missing in the middle. So whatever words are missing, but they're self-understood based on the context, that's a din of yad. And so it's considered as if the get has the full text, as if the shtar has the full text, and as if the neder and the shvua has the full text. So the Tur quotes from his father, the Rosh, that every shvua is always understood that it's Lashem or Bashem. Even if you don't mention Shem Hashem, it's a yad, it's self-understood that you're either swearing to God or by God. Otherwise, the shvua is not meaningful at all. The Mishnah requires in shvuas hadayonim, when the Bezin has a person swear, a shvua deraisa, moide mimiktsas, a shvuas hashoimimar, a shvuas eidechod, that he has to hold on to a sefer Torah. That's called shvua benikitas chefetz. The Gemara says at Talmud Chacham, we don't require that he should hold on to the Sefer Torah. He can hold on to a pair of tefillin, it's also good. Here they had no Sefer Torah, they had no tefillin. So Avraham Avinu wanted the Shvuah to be a Shvuah Chamura. So he had Eliezer swear benikitas chefetz. He held on to the thigh of Avraham Avinu, which was near the Bris Milah. So that was the only Dovishal Mitzvah that he had. That was the most important Dovishal Mitzvah that he had. So he wanted it to be Sim Yotcha Tachas Yirechi. He wanted it to be a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chefetz. The Beis Yosef quotes a meaning from Northern Africa in the days of the Rif, that when witnesses would come to testify, they would have them put their hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So that's a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chefetz, a Sefer Torah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to hold the Sefer Torah, you can put your hands on the Bible, it's also good. It happens that that was a minig that they had. Strictly speaking, there is no requirement that Eidim have to swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. Not only that, there's a famous Tosis, the beginning of the second Perek in Kiddushin, the Tosis proves in the Gemara that if an Eid, if you have a situation that the Eid, we cannot accept the testimony of the Eid unless he swears. This Eid is an Ager B'Dover. Maybe he's only testifying this way in order to relieve himself from swearing a Shvur. So we'll have him swear. So he's no longer in a gebedover. So Tosfos says, no, Omeri, an aid has to swear, it's not accepted. An aid has to be believed based on the Haggadah Seder. If the aid is thoroughly shaveya, so it's not an acceptable testimony. So this was, in Din, there is no such requirement. Not only is no requirement, if an aid has to swear, so they can't even accept the whole testimony. But this was the minig in Northern Africa in Jewish Batadinim. They would have the aid put his hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's a Shvuah B'Hashem. So that was that minig to swear benikitas chayfes was carried over by the courts. Has its source in mentioned Choshen Mishpat. Has its source in Northern Africa in the days of the Rif. That was the practice. The Netziv writes a fantastic chiddush here. It's a little problematic how it fits into the pasuk. He says Vashbiach b'Hashem alakei Hashemayim, and it doesn't say that he said Amen. What do you mean it doesn't say? It says in the last pasuk Vayishov alo aladav razeh, he did swear. So I don't know. The Netziv says Eliezer didn't have to swear. This was mushba mipi achera. Avram Avinu had the right to demand of Eliezer the shvua bal korchai. And he quotes a Mishnah in Yuma that there were periods of time during the middle of the Baisheni when the Kohanim Gedolim would be at Tzedukim and they wouldn't do the Avodah in accordance with the tradition of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Bez Nagodol used to have the Kohen Gadol swear that he's not going to be Mishana, he's not going to change anything from the way they instructed him how to do the Avodah. So the Mishnah also, it never says that the Kohen Gadol says Amen. It just says, we are Mashbiyayu. It sounds like the Shavua is Chal Bal Korcho over the Kohen Gadol. So that's when the Netziv writes in on this pasuk, Vashbiach b'Hashem alakei Hashemayim. He says that Avraham Avinu had the ability to be Mashbia Bal Korchoi Eliezer on this issue, that he's not going to have Yitzchak leave Eretz Yisrael. He's going to see to it that he's going to get a girl from his family. And the Bez Nagodol has a right to be Mashbia, the Kohen Gadol, Shavua Bal Korchoi. Mushba m'pi achir. The Ran on the first daf in the Dorim quotes the Rabbi Natan. That when do you need Shavua b'Hashem, when do you not need Shavua b'Hashem? When it's Mujbam b'pi acherim, when you're forcing a Shavua on the other person, Bal Korchai, then you have to invoke the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the right to be Mashbia Bal Korchai. So here it was a Shavua b'Hashem. So the Netziv claims that this was a Mujbam b'pi acherim, that the Shavua was forced upon. What right does the Bezdin have to force the Shavua on the Kangala? What right did Avraham Avinu have? So that's a question. So the Netziv has his presentation. And others are not so convinced. I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik said that he said over this, he's a descendant from the Netziv. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the Netziv's granddaughter. So every so often he would say over things from the Netziv. Not all of them, a lot of the things are very different. So this he said over a little differently. I think he said, because this would affect the whole future of Klal Yisrael, whom Yitzchak is going to marry is going to determine the future of Klal Yisrael. If the Ovis can only function as Ovis if they have Imohes who are on par, who are Noshim Tzadkonis. So if Yitzchak is going to marry the wrong girl, so Yitzchak will not have the status of an Av and there won't be a future for Klal Yisrael. So he said whenever the issue that they want the fellow to swear about is negated to the whole future of Klal Yisrael, the Kapora and Yom Kippurim, and God of his Mishan and the Seder Avodah, so the Klal Yisrael doesn't get any kapara. So these kind of things, you have a right to force the Shavua Bal Korcha on the other person. It's a chiddush though. It's a chiddush. Because the simple reading of the pasuk says, Vayishov alo alador v'azeh, that he did swear. Pashto says that it wasn't a mushbam piyachem. He didn't force him to.
What's the pshat by the soita where she has to say amen? Why doesn't have the right?
So then it's Siv there talks about that. The Rabbeinu Tam says that you only need a Shem when it's Bujma Piacherim, and Soita has a Shvua Bashem, but she says Omein. So the Rani asks on the first daf in the dorm, what's going on? The Rabbeinu Tam says Bujma Piacherim, but it says she says Omein. So then it's Siv on Parsha Soita explains in the Herchiv Dov on the bottom of the page that by the Soita there are two Shvuas. She has to say Omein, then it should be Bujma Piatzma, but then we want it to be Shvuas HaKoyin. We want it to be the Koyin, so it's both. It's a Mujman pi acherim and also a Mujman pi atzma. I mean, he explains why you need both dinim. Tzvei dinim. Not so smooth, but that's what he tries to defend the Rabbeinu Tam from the Kash of Deran in the first daf in the Dorm. When the Chassan goes to the Badekin, so it says in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that the Rabbanim give a blessing to the Kala. And we mentioned the pasuk over here, Achoseinu Atayili Alfei Revova. We mentioned the bracha that this tzaddik gave his sister. The Shulchan Aruch, they talk about, I couldn't pick a better bracha. I picked the bracha that Lavan ben Besuel gave to his sister. We should pick up a bracha that a tzaddik gave. I don't know, but that's the minig. You give a bracha to the kala that she should have a lot of babies, that she's a young girl. She's remarrying at the age of 95. You don't give such a bracha. Meaning is that when the Kala marches down the aisle, she covers her face. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishonim that that's based on the pasuk here, that when Rivka comes back to Eretz Yisrael and she sees Yitzchak, Vatikach Hatzoyef Atiskos, so she covered her face with her veil because she was about to have the Nisuin with her husband. Eliezer, according to the tradition, did the Erisin. Eliezer was a shliach to do the Kiddushin. We just attended a wedding recently. One of the boys who used to sit here for centuries just got married, Mordechai Turah. So he gave a whole pilpul by the Chassan Stish on this. We just learned the Gemara yesterday on Daf Chav Gimel that an Eved is any B'toris Gittin Mekidushin, so therefore he cannot serve as a Shliach in Gittin Mekidushin. So how could Eliezer, Eved Avram, serve as a Shliach for the Kiddushin? Tosis quotes in the beginning of Ksubas, Tosis quotes the Shiltas that Eliezer was serving as the Shliach for the Kiddushin. And he recited the Bichas Erisin, so that's Mikan is a Raya. When the Shliach does the Kiddushin for someone else, the Shliach says the Bracha, even though the Chassan is not here. The Chassan is back in Kiryat Arba. And the Shliach is in Aram Naharaim over there, in Choron, wherever he is over here. He's a different location. So the Shliach says the Bracha. So how could he have served as a Shliach Le Kiddushin if he's any B'Torah's Gittin Kiddushin? So the Pashtus says that Kodim Matan Torah that didn't apply yet. So Mordechai Turov gave a whole Bikiyas, a whole series of Terutzim from Achronim. Each one was more difficult than the other one, but it was very entertaining. That's for sure. Yeah?
The Pasuk switches and calls him an Ish. Calls him Evan, that will come out. It's that part where he's giving the rings. It switches and calls him an Ish. Maybe, even though he served Avram, maybe he wasn't the dinner of an Evan.
That's what some suggest. The Amacharim suggest that Avraham Avinu gave Meshtar Shichur in the event that he'll find the girl, so he should become a Shichur as before he's about to be Mekadosh the girl. Yeah, unless you need it, unless it's necessary. If I need to, if I'm being Meshachar him for my own purposes, yes. So if I'm going to gain something out of it, so then the Ramban says that it's Mutar. But Tzorach Atzma, then it's Mutar. Okay, Tov. I apologize that I haven't given early Shia. I got to run. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'm supposed to give the shiur on kashrus. So in this room, I think. Where's the shiur? Not in this room. Down the hall. Okay.